Okay, we are now being recorded.
I always seem to forget about it, and then we're 10 minutes in, I say, oh, shoot. So, John. Oh, no. Even though we've sent 30
minutes out. Okay. Yes.
Well, luckily, so John is down on the agenda.
Grab the cab.
Okay.
So, and I'm sitting at the car.
Okay.
Hopefully, he will be fine.
Oh, yes.
We're just down next to 7 so I'll walk from there. First group.
We had gone to talk on the other stuff and Aaron, and it was just kind of unnerving walking to that office. It's so vibrating after this.
You can have it.
So there's handouts, as you see, and also the very important River Use Survey.
We should get together.
Is Michelle's
I wonder if everyone there would be able to see the screen.
No, it's not. That's kind of a lot of staff and good
one-way input.
The problem always is zero out on it takes away from the dynamism of the meeting. Yeah. Yeah. We meet here with
well, I don't know if we have final budgets yet. So, yeah, we have also trying to settle in with the hotel. Yeah, we can talk more about that.
That's right.
And Doug and I have what is there a way to kind of look at the
situation? Yeah.
I think that would make a lot of sense to streamline. And we talk about now.
Hey, Emily.
The
2018
plan for Simeon, you should have one.
I have
some extras.
No,
you don't. I only make it for the
company.
I do.
Hey. How's it going? Maybe we could pull another chair. I bet there's room. Let me grab one.
I can move to this one. What do you think? Because I'll move here.
Oh, okay. Well, she's going to have to move the she may be moving.
Okay.
Should I
look at
I'll squeeze one in there. Oh, okay.
You do it.
Thank you. No, you're supposed to be up here. Well, actually,
that's
a problem.
Yeah, when it is 2 blocks from my office.
Tammy, is that available? Yes. Yes.
So it's yes. Good
for you. No one's coming for you. And yeah, the director's here, and Anthony Williams is here.
All right, good to see you.
Right.
Yeah.
You're working with Jorge?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah, please. Yeah. Jorge says it's okay. He has
okay.
We got a lot of people. Welcome, everyone. We've got 23. We've got everybody kind of wind your conversation down. Wind your conversation down in our public position. All right. I need everybody to be quiet. So, thank you to everyone for coming. We've got 23 members of this commission, and as we do our work today, I'm going to stay with the prior, with hopefully respecting that the commissioners have priority, and that as we ask questions and weigh in, that initially the rounds will be just for commissioners to ask questions. And because of the room, I can't tell who's who, even though I kind of know. But with that, let's start with introductions for the whole room. Let's start on my left. And I'm your director of the Department of Energy and Environment, Tommy Wells. Welcome.
Gretchen McKeska, DOEE, Anacostia Coordinator.
Upal Ghosh, University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Emily Frank, Anacostia Riverkeeper.
Chris Weiss, DC Environmental Network.
Fred Pickney, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Steve Walls, Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments.
Michelle Prescott, Dayton,
Simeon Hahn with NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration.
Michael Bucci, Clean Water Action.
Michael Stevens, Capitol Riverfront BIT.
Bill Malazowski, Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay.
Tammy Sittum, National Park Service.
Morning, Adam Ortiz, Prince George's County.
We'll start back on the wall here.
Kevin Hilger, please, the Appleton.
Jeff Johnson, Office of the Solicitor in the Department of the Interior.
Matt Reese, DC Water. Steve Hirsch, EPA Superfund.
Fish Hall, Chesapeake Legal Alliance for the Anacostia Riverkeeper.
Steve Schofar, Council of Governments.
Diane Ambers, NOAA.
Grant Blumberg, NOAA.
I'm Bob Stroud, the EPA Project Manager for the Washington Navy Yard.
And our Valley Bay, Washington Navy, you know,
Scott McEwen with CH2M, or contractor for the Navy.
Walter Smith, DC Appleseed.
Navy Tar, you can introduce Tara Morrison, National Park Service.
Welcome.
So,
you
I already when I was just Valerie Bosford, Assistant General Counsel
for
the
OBA. Steve Jowett, Carver, Diamond, Washington Gas. Mike Rooney, Washington Gas.
Kathy Trent with Washington Gas.
Eric Murdoch, with your waves for PECO.
John Weiler, E.P. Cobb for PECO.
John Cooper, PECO.
Ray Montero, DOE.
Russell Rosenfeld, General Counsel at DOE.
Daniel Connor, DOE.
Scott Pruitt, EPS.
Santa Claus.
Everything should first
Who else has come in?
We have
a phone. Oh, and then who's on the phone?
This is Lynn Beal from Maryland Department of the Environment.
Okay, anybody else on the phone?
I'm in Maryland Department of Natural Resources.
Okay, we got that. Anybody else?
Carolyn Barley, DOEE.
Welcome. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Mark, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Mark Shute, Tetra Tech.
Welcome, Mark.
Or Emily.
All right. Well, for some reason, you know, we're about to approach the holidays, and we've had the best attendance we've ever had. Thank you to everyone for your interest. And what we're going to start off with, let me look at the agenda real quick. Anthony Williams is not here, but we've got Doug Siglin, so welcome. We have some reports, but what I want to do, because I can, and this is my place, and I'm the director, I'm going to start my own agenda item, and what I want to talk about is the timeline. And I realize that there's a lot of anxiety around the timeline, and it depends on where you sit. You've got advocates that have fought very hard to get the Anacostia River Sediment Project this far,
and went to the council and got a timeline set for June of 2018 to get a record of decision. You've got potential responsible parties that are concerned that decisions could be made in haste that are not the most responsible decisions with the best science because we stuck to a timeline for whatever reason. Then we've got as I like to think of as the students who are writing the paper that we're all waiting on. And we're all, you know, we don't want you to wait till the last night before you write the paper, but it's so very important. You need to have the time to write the paper, and you have to, you know, it's your team project with National Park Service, and so we need the best product possible, but we still have timelines. So I'm going to throw up some times on the wall and then just kind of discuss what's in stone, what's not in stone, and, you know, even what's in stone, is it really in stone? I don't know, but we're going to talk about it. So first, we've got June 2018, which is, gosh, I hope this is erasable. for the ROD, for the DC Council. Okay? Here, no importance other than staying within 2018 would be December 31st, the last day of 2018. Here, we have December 14th, 2017, of today. Can't change that. Have not addressed that, but that's in law. And we know that we're all very excited that 2018 is the year of the Anacostia. And it would be part of our stewardship on our watch while we're here to get to a record decision that 2018 is not symbolic, just symbolically important, but it's part of our covenant with the people that we serve, that we do our darndest to do it. So that's what we got. Currently, in our timeline, we've got January 8th that's set for the final remedial investigation report. And we've got feasibility study. Then, somewhere in there, I've not decided where, we've got, I'll just kind of park it here, we've got proposed plan. I only put it here because that has to come before the ROD. All right. What drives the timeline? One of the things that drives the timeline certainly is I have a commitment to get this done in this term in 2018. Other parts that drive the timeline, let me ask Wesley, and this is just baseline. This isn't what we're doing, this is just baseline. Wesley, what is the required comment period for any of these?
The only legally required comment period is for the proposed plan. That's 30 days, but we are legally obligated to extend it an additional 30 days if it's requested.
So the baseline is going to be 60 days from whenever this comes out. Is there a required comment period for the RI? Okay. Is there a required comment period for the feasibility study?
No.
By law?
By law, it's not.
Right. I'm not saying there won't be, but I'm just trying to see what our parameters are that's required. Now, I suspect that to get the best product and the best paper, we're not going to meet the January 8th. I suspect, rumors have it, through hearsay, that Tetra Tech and the Park Service, working together, which they've done very well, want more time. I don't know how much time, but if I were them, just like I did in school, I'd ask for the most time humanly possible. I would ask for 2 or 3 years and then work back from there. But we don't know what we're going to agree to, but they're going to ask for more time. And we know that that will bump into eventually proposed plan. What we want to do is do far beyond like we already have. We've already provided more opportunity for public comment than what's required at all. And we want to continue with that culture and tradition of agreement with the community, that we continue the openness of public comment. So, while folks are going to want to digest this, this is kind of, if I'm anybody that's a stakeholder in this, this is the first thing that I'm most concerned about. I know that there's already been meetings with Pepco. They've met with me and they've met with some of you. That they're very nervous among any other potential responsible party, as they should be. They're nervous about what is this going to say. The question for me is, when do they get to say something about it? And I know that it's already delayed. We're not going to get a good product that we need, that you need, by January 8th. But it's for a good reason, that we've got National Park Service and they've invested now in consultants, and they've got experience, and they're reviewing this work, and they're getting to a good product. Now, what is the FS? And I probably shouldn't be the one to explain it, but I don't want to get too far in the weeds. FS is going to be anywhere, it's going to be some range of options of how to clean the sediment. And there'll be any number of them. It starts with one that says, do nothing. Leave it alone. It'll remediate on its own or whatever, but we're required that whenever you go through this process, one of the options has to be do nothing. It's not that anyone's recommending do nothing, it's just gotta be on there. So, to whatever degree our advocates that are not used to going through a ROD process and they see do nothing, don't get upset about that. It's just, that's got to be one of the options. It's part of the rules. Then there's likely going to be something that says, probably not, but something like, dredge the whole thing and cap the whole thing and put, but be sure you cap it with nuggets of gold. That's going to be very expensive. It'll be an option that may or may not be fully based in the best science of how you get there. Some of the variables that I know that at least one of our partners have already talked to you about is something called adaptive management. That's a variable. Another variable is, many of you have already helped get consent decrees, court orders on the Pepco site, Washington Gas site. We've got, I love having our EPA, I mean our Navy Yard folks here around the cleanup of the Superfund site, and really appreciate you being here. There's a lot of things to consider that if we don't do anything, like we just wrap it up today, these things will keep going. They're already required to do it. We also believe, and I think you've seen, that we've got another site up at the end of the channel that's an enforcement action. That's an enforcement action because we've got a hot spot of PCBs that came from somewhere and somebody's got to clean it up. And so these things have to be taken into consideration. So it's not the ROD's going to replace those things. It's just that, how does it incorporate what's already going on? Because we know that, you know, CH2M and Navy Yard, they're not going to start over. I mean, they're in a process. Pepco's in a process. Washington Gas is in a process. So that's got to be incorporated into this. So it's this, in my opinion, that's going to require a lot of discussion. And so we need to have a time to argue, fight, inform, and learn about this once it comes out, and not wait until the proposed plan to have community dialogue. We need to have it here. But I'm asking that we allow Tetra Tech and National Park Service to do their job and get it to here, and that this be the point where we start discussing it, not here. We've already gotten public comments on the RI. This is being worked on. It'll have options, and what we'll be able to do to, you know, it's not like you have to live with one option. You can slice and dice these through community comment period of saying, we like part of this, we like part of that. And why didn't you do this? And then we work on that. We do that before we get to the proposed plan. Now, part of the things I'm up against is that Wesley did a survey of 8 other sites where they've done cleanups. And it's taken, on average, about 8 months to get from proposed plan to the rod. I don't think we're going to have 8 months, but that's generally what it takes.
That's actually at a minimum.
Okay. No average. Minimum. So that's the compressed time that we're working with. How we stretch it to December 31st. So the first thing is, and what I will do that's concrete, is I will go in front of the city council and ask for this date to go down to December 31st. That's the date that's in law. This is not a resolution, it's a law. I'm going to ask for that law to be changed, that we push it to December 31st, but stay within 2018. And I'll come back to that. Once that's done, we've got to get a firm date from Tetra Tech and National Park Service on when is this coming out, because those are our two bookends that decides how we're going to do this. Now, starting with that as parameters and goals, I want to open the floor up to the commissioners of this August commission to either ask questions, make recommendations, push back. What did I get wrong? What did I not think about? Are these real parameters?
Jim
Foster, Santa.
Director Wells, everybody. I'm Jim Foster, Anacostia Watershed Society. Thank you so much for this great explanation. I think that I'll probably speak for a lot of people in the room. We need to step back a little bit and remember that this was a voluntary thing, so we want everybody to volunteer. We still haven't seen, for instance, the risk assessment, that a lot of those things would be based upon the final risk assessment. We pick 3, 6, 9, 300 parts per billion as our cleanups area. So it's those kinds of things that we all want to come to the table with and have a cogent and intellectual conversation about what are the parameters we're using. By the time we get to the other end of this...
What's the other end?
The other end of the feasibility study.
Which is the proposed plan.
Right, but that's where we're not seeing it presented to any of the room here until that point, is our understanding.
Okay, this is the feasibility study that's coming out. You're saying you want input, more input here before the options come out.
We need to understand the basic parameters of what we sampled, how, you know, what we found. I think as a group, because we want everybody to come together, the advocates and the businesses and the government and the regulators, we want to all come together. When we go out to the public with this, we want to be all singing the same song.
That's the proposed plan.
I understand.
So, on this one, Are you saying, all right, let me take a step back. In the feasibility study, will there be different numbers of allowable levels of, you know, PRGs?
No, Director. We'll have our PRGs established. That's going to be sort of the foundation of the feasibility study. But what I think, Jim, the RI will precede that, and that will have all the, will speak to every, all the questions. But the RI report will show what we sample.
When's the RI coming out?
It will come out before the FS.
Now, it's not, is it required to?
It really has to, because it's the basis of the
So it's not in law, but in a practical level, it needs to come out first.
Perspective, you have to
so when is the RI coming out?
When's the RI coming out? We're still working out a schedule with your staff, so I don't know that that's final, but it's coming out. Our best guess is that it's going to come out in early March.
So what you're now saying is RI March, early March, we'll say.
Let's say March 8th.
8th. And now what you're saying, Jim, is you want a public comment period between the RI and the FS.
We even need to define what that means. I don't really feel that we need to go out to the man in the street. I think the public is the people in this
But room. You want an opportunity to respond to the RI before the FS comes out.
Right, so that we're all singing the same...
I'm not defining right. what it is, but you want a comment period here. Okay? Got it.
As we're working towards a voluntary approach to this, I think that that's the best thing to have all the volunteers...
Okay, here.
Yeah, so, when, a couple things. When you mentioned Tetra Tech, that's basically DOE's contractor, right? So
yes.
So it's DOE and the Park Service.
Yes.
Kind of taking the lead on this. And my feeling is, and I'll offer recommendation is, I kind of mentioned this to maybe this group and others before, is that in these meetings, as you just as you said here, there's not enough time really to get into the technical issues of the presentations and even really ask questions. And, so I tried to have some other places where there is technical exchange amongst all these parties, because there's a lot of expertise in the room, in addition to kind of this outreach, familiarity, get input type of thing. So there has been a draft of the RIs that people have seen, and yeah. things can change, the PRG. But, you kind of have an understanding of the big picture of the RI. For the FS, there's been a couple different presentations of various sorts from large, like you said, from large scale to maybe more traditional Superfund type stuff. But it seems to me like, why can't a draft of that FS be released before a final? So it sounds like DOEE is reviewing a draft. Maybe the Park Service is reviewing a draft of the FS. Why isn't anybody else reviewing a draft? And there could be an opportunity for a technical meeting to really get into some of these things, because you don't really want to review these things back and forth through comment letters in the mail.
Right.
Or that's going to push your schedule.
Samuel, what you're saying is that there's already been opportunity to weigh in, because we've done it in two phases. But there's been substantial opportunity to weigh in on the RI, mm-hmm. that the community input has been there. So instead of putting this comment period here, continue with the comment period coming up to this. That focus on getting the FS out, because we've already been shaping the RI, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then, and I raised a question last time, I think you have it on there too, like, I'm very interested in this ongoing discussion about what does it mean in terms of these consent orders and maybe cleanups, records of decision at these individual sites. To me, that's where the majority of the contamination is in the river.
That's right.
And so that's where the actions, or the bigger actions, at least that's my point, that's my viewpoint at this time. The others may not share that.
You're right.
That's where the traditional kind of FS type evaluations will be done. And the larger scale thing has to consider the impact of those actions. And I imagine that discussion's going on, but not everybody's hearing it.
Well, you're right. The level of engagement, I mean, Pepco has their community meetings and such, but at different levels, you're right. But they also have, you know, this is the Navy Yard being a Superfund site. They have to follow right. the laws related to that. These two, Washington Gas has done their first phase, but for the second phase, there'll have to be community input and all the requirements related to their ROD. And then for the Pepco site, same thing. And then for the channel site, that's an enforcement action. And so that has its level to get through its process as well. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be points of input in all of those, according to CERCLA, the other laws that govern this. This is trying to just put the arms around it.
Yeah, and then the last thing, and didn't you have like a site like Washington Gas, which I saw last time, had a ROD date of like 2020 or something. It was pretty far
yep.
in the future. So,
well, let me assure you,
because that's a hot spot area.
If I'm involved with either of these, I'm going to wait for this because there you don't want a conflict.
Right.
You want to know depth. You want to know the PRGs, the levels. So I would slow down, or I would not, you know, I would wait for those things. Now, currently, the floor is open to commissioners, and then I'll get to the rest of the room. So, doctor, are you a commissioner?
I don't know, but I'm
lots of I'll come back to you. We'll go for comments, but this is staying with commissioners. Right here, Fred.
I've been pretty close to the RIFS, but my recollection is the last time I looked at the RI was last April when the first draft came out, and I haven't seen a response to comments. That isn't out yet, is that right?
No,
in the first round there was.
Phase one.
Okay, so I haven't seen phase two.
Wait, what was the answer to that, Mark?
Phase one, the last version of the RI report to issue was on March 18, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That was the draft. Comments to that draft are public.
Okay, I guess what I'm trying to say is then there is phase two that's going to be incorporated into the revised RI.
There will be phase two sampling was conducted, and there will be a report issued that encompasses everything phases one
right.
and two.
And that's going to drive the PRGs, which is going to drive in some way the FS. And so I thought that I was going to be able to agree with what Simeon was saying, but it seems like you would want some kind of panel.
And Wildlife does not agree with Noah that you want this period of time here.
Here. I want time there, and whether it's a technical panel with a short turnaround time, maybe.
Does technical mean that you want to restrict the public relationship of the comment period?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm saying some kind of peer review panel to look at the RI focusing on the PRGs.
Okay, Walter?
Well, I was just going to ask whether you already have in your mind, Tommy, what the calendar looks like.
No.
Between now and December 31.
Well,
I mean, there are a lot of steps to go through, and I've heard you say
ideally,
you want to maximize input from people in this room. I'm just curious if you have a calendar that shows by this day. I heard this gentleman say March 8th something would happen. And so you've got a lot of steps between now and December 31. I'm just curious if you have a possible calendar to propose.
Ideally, if you started December 31st as your end date, and work backwards, that we get a proposed plan done by here. Ideally, we get a proposed plan done by there in order to make our December 31st deadline, ideally. But part of this is negotiation with Park Service because they're leading this too. It's not just, I mean, I'm a little bit of, so in my mind, and I've not vetted this to the Park Service, that we get to the ROD, not the ROD, I'm sorry, the proposed plan sometime this summer. And then from the proposed plan, we get the ROD December 31st. So what I'm proposing is the ROD December 31st, and we've got to have some time for them to incorporate all of this into the ROD, which comes from the proposed plan. Bill.
Seems to me, if you work back from December 31, you've got to have some kind of a comment period on the proposed plan, which is the 60 days.
By law.
You need to have time to respond to those comments. So let's say 120 days. But I don't think June, I think you'd have more space to go to like August or something.
Well, I do want to note, the shortest it's ever been done of like sites is 8 months.
From proposed plan to ROD.
Yes. But
so
I'd like to say
6 months. So we'd be the world record with 6 months.
But I'm not saying it's impossible.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering, it would be a shame to have everybody sitting around for 3 months after that period closes and you've taken all the comments and put them in when you could have used that time back in the beginning.
Our research says 8 months is the fastest, but we're already going faster than any other site already. And so we believe that we can do it. Now, again, rarely do you have two, you know, folks like the Park Service and the DC local government so joined. But so far, I think we're getting a better product, so I don't think we're losing time.
Okay, well, what that says is your proposed plan has to be out in April.
I'm saying proposed plan out in June. Oh, no, yeah, proposed plan out in June.
No, the ROD is out in June.
That's no, I'm sorry.
That's,
the ROD's the end.
For the ROD.
I'm sorry.
The ROD is the end.
Plan in June, but you need... Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you need the proposed plan to give them 6 months.
Yeah.
By the end of June.
Yeah.
Okay, who... Emily?
Yeah, no, I actually was kind of going to mirror what Bill was saying just about the end piece. I just don't see... I mean, if the purpose of the council is to help kind of shape some of these things, and I can't imagine, you know, eight potential alternatives there.
There'll be anywhere from
just like
two
going,
to
I
six.
I come up with eight. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, just that seems like a lot. I mean, it seems like there's an opportunity for us to engage earlier so that, you know, we get closer to.
Okay. What does that mean, engage earlier?
Well, you know, look at some, I mean,
you
have the council look at.
You want to engage before the FS?
Well,
more?
I mean, if you have possible alternatives that you're looking at right now,
okay.
And you get a...
The alternatives, yeah. They're not ready to defend and give you the FS yet.
Okay.
They've got to also get our Park Service partners on board to say, this
what
makes sense.
Sure.
And so it's not ready.
Okay.
So, what you just heard from Tetra Tech, they think they'd be ready... March 8th.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their job to get them to give themselves as much time as possible. But they've just proposed in this room March 8th.
Is that for the RI?
For the RI.
Not for the FS.
Sorry.
Right.
I put that above the RI.
Right.
Yeah, there was a scoping thing that allowed the public to get some input into the feasibility study. There were some events where. From a general concept thing. But I just wanted to raise one question.
What I want to do is be sure that those that have not spoken, that's part of the commission, have a shot before we enter into that kind of conversation. Anybody else that has not spoken? Yes, Michelle.
I think you need a lot of buy-in at the RI. So I think having concerted technical folks in the room together to walk through it and really evaluate it, because if hasn't been seen phase one since 2016, everyone's got to get refreshed.
It's still there. It's
yeah.
still out there. You can still look at it.
Yeah, if there's an additional sampling was done, that'll be available in the next draft. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having time and meeting to talk about that before it's delivered to refresh everyone would be very beneficial in helping to inform the feasibility study portion.
Okay, now we're going to go back around to the commissioners. Jim?
So I think what one of the fallacies of what we're doing is saying, let's work on a schedule, but the process that we're following, I don't really need to have it done right now, I need to have it done right. And so whether it happens in, you know, June of 2019 or June of 2018, I'm okay with that as long as everybody in the room comes to the same, you know, yes, we agree with this. That's where the train's starting to go off the tracks, is that, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but, you know, the district is a PRP, the Park Service is a PRP, and there's other PRPs sitting in the room here who are going, wait, you guys are making all these decisions. Why'd you take these samples over here? And we just need to understand that we're all, what are the basis, the foundational decisions that are being made in the RI?
Let me assure you that it's the gray area that we're going to live in, that it's the job on behalf of your, not go too deep into your shareholders, to reduce liability. And so the gray area can be pondered on, like other states have, for another 10, 15 years. I know you're not proposing that, but I don't, you know, in some ways, when we look at, you know what, you dug it a foot too deep. Or you spent an extra $3 million on a cap you didn't need. You know, this is pretty fundamental stuff. We can get pretty deep into whose PCBs these are. But I don't have to fight that battle necessarily. I'm about to come back out to the community, but first, B-Matt.
It seems to me what we really need to hear is when the feasibility study will be available. You've got a date, March 8th, for the RI. You've got a date for the proposed plan, June. And the question that I don't have any sense of is, how do you spend the time between March 8th and June reviewing the RI, releasing the FS, and getting comments for the FS?
Right.
What's that? What's the FS release date?
And right.
That gives us another piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
And I don't know whether that date should be April or May, or where in between, but we ain't got a lot of time in there. So which one is the more important to review? Which one needs more time to review? And set that date for the FS, and we're on our way.
Okay. Now for community comments, Doctor?
Yes. Have you read my research on this?
On chlordane, yes.
No, on all. We looked at all the PCBs in the entire area. 2 years of research, and this paper has been invited to 5 conferences in 4 different countries, ranging from China, Paris, and England and the U.S. And the fact of the matter is, what we did was an approach that nobody else ever considered, which was using active biomonitoring to look at the sources of these. All but one source is in Maryland.
Of what?
Chlordane for one. There's a chlordane source in DC. Everything else is in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I mean a whole bunch more chlordane sources. I don't know what you're doing. Do now. You cannot ignore the facts. And some are the facts. The work has been done for 3 years. We walked every inch of the entire Wash watershed. We put out 56.
So where do you stand in this timeline?
Where I stand in this timeline is basically go out now. You know where the sources are. You know what they're doing. Look where the sources are. They're in Maryland. And pick out how to deal with them. Usually the best way to deal with these things, these sources, is to construct sediment factories. Because all these...
So one way to address the chlordane issue... is that you can have a rod that also has a piece for continuing work. It's not entirely done, but in terms of continuing to chase up into Maryland, it doesn't mean we have to wait for providing guidance on these sites that we already know about for PCBs, because they're not going to dig around the chlordane. They're going to go straight to the PCBs. So... But I don't think we're going to wait.
May I finish talking?
Yeah.
If all the sources are in Maryland, I don't care what you do with these things, next year it would all be down the stream in seven. Now, seven, this much every year comes in from Maryland. And identify the Maryland sources. If you could stop it at the source, next year everything will be coming with this much clean, and this much clean, and this much clean in 3 years. You don't have to dig up anything. Go to the sources. And if you don't do that, you can say as much clean as you want. You won't fall, because next year will be back.
Okay. So, NRDC?
No, Reggie Hall with Chesapeake Legal Alliance, working with the Anacostia Riverkeeper. And by way of brief background, I've handled Superfund cases since 1982. Dozens and dozens of national priorities list cases, including some of the big contaminated sediment cases in New Jersey and the mine tailings cases out in the Midwest. And I mention that only because what I'm going to recommend is based on a lot of experience, including a lot of blown deadlines on these kinds of cases, which I well understand you don't want to do and none of us want to have happen. I think where you really don't want to be is in a situation where you issue the proposed plan, and that's the first time everybody gets a chance to really look into the details, and somebody picks up on the risk assessment, as Jim suggested, and finds a significant flaw in that. Because at that point, your choice is either to go all the way back to the remedial investigation in that report and redo the risk assessment, then redo the feasibility study, because you're going to be looking at mitigating different risks with different technologies, or you go all the way to the public with a knowingly flawed plan. So my suggestion is just that the way to minimize that, I think, is to bring at least the folks into this room, your commissioners, and as soon as the RI report is available with the risk assessment, share it here. You know, about a year ago, you did a great thing, I thought, which was to convene a group with the Tetra Tech folks of people interested in some of the technical details of what was going on in the RI. I thought, you know, that kind of thing would be very helpful. And then do the same kind of thing with the feasibility study so that by the time you get to the proposed plan, as Jim said and a couple other folks said, you've got, to the maximum extent possible, people in this room on the same page and their technical consultants with you on the same page.
So based on your expertise and background, you're essentially saying let go of December 31st. That's not as important, clearly, as all this. Reestablish that date after you hash through the RI.
Well, I think that's right. I think what we're talking about is pretty clear that you're not going to get the rod out by June. And going to December, you know, while there are many in the room who wouldn't like that, I think that's probably inevitable if you're going to get it right. And I think we all agree it's more important to get it right.
With the information that's on the floor of the stakeholders, especially commissioners, do you have a counter-argument of why you want to keep in 2018 to get to the RI, those that helped pass the bill to create it for June? Is there an argument to...
You said RI. Is
there a reason to have a deadline for the rod?
Just ask a question. At what point, without looking back at the resolution or whatever, I think it mentioned natural resource damage assessments, and it talked about, or this group has talked about, integrating cleanup and restoration together. So does this timeline, is it intended to address the NRDA, which is really the restoration part that a lot of people are interested in? You know, in CERCLA, it's cleanup. It's addressing risk. It's not like habitat restoration, natural resource restoration. So is there a separate timeline for that, or is the goal to incorporate that?
I can ask Wesley.
The statute covers only the deadlines for the record of decision and not the natural resource damage assessment.
So there's not a deadline on the NRDA process. Fred?
So I guess my suggestion is you can take advantage of the year of the Anacostia by saying we will have a proposed plan by December 31st. With the rod to follow as soon as humanly possible, so that your public message is the same. We're going to figure out what we want to do to clean up this river, and that may satisfy council.
Emily?
If you go to the council and you ask for an extension, I know that they scrubbed the budget in the last cycle for this year for the sediment project, so is there a possibility they're going to say you can get an extension but no money? I mean, is that going to be?
It's always a possibility, but I think this is a priority for the council. I think I think the mayor and the council will fund, because the funding doesn't, the need for funds does not end at the ROD.
No, exactly, but it's, yeah, I'm just so thinking I think about that them will, cutting the budget.
I don't think they'll cut the budget. I think they'll want, this is passed because advocates went to the council and asked for this date. They're going to go back to the stakeholders that asked for this date to say, what do you think? And it doesn't matter, I mean, it matters what I say, but the advocates got this date for the city. Are the advocates ready to let it go?
Bill? I think you, like it or not, I think you're being pushed into 2019 for the ROD, because the alternative is to stick with that for the ROD, to say you're going to come up with a proposed plan that's going to, in record time, get you to the ROD, and that proposed plan is going to have to come out after you have issued in March the RI, and somewhere between March and June the FS, and so let's just split it in half. So on April 15th, you're going to issue the FS after having done the RI on March 8th.
We've not agreed to this March 8th yet.
What?
That is not an agreement.
I know, but let's assume in the best of all worlds you get it out on March 8th. You're going to have a comment period. Give them 30 days.
Best of all worlds, it's February 8th.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is you're talking about 45 to 60 days to review an RI and 45 to 60 days to review an FS if you're going to get to December 31. That don't look very doable with all the issues you're going to have to deal with.
There's no requirement to review the FS.
I got a feeling people are going to want to review it.
Jim.
So I do want to say that that date was set way back when, before we knew so much. And, of course, you know, nothing focuses the mind like a date and schedule and get stuff done. And so I appreciate all the effort that has gone into this. I would have to say that for the right reasons, it's okay to slip, because we found out new information. I think that the reason it's slipping, frankly, is we don't have the right resources in the right place. The Park Service has been delayed in putting a person in place there.
There's been no slipping. This isn't half the time of any, I mean.
I know, you're
I mean, there's been no slipping.
You're comparing it to other sites. We thought we'd have the RI.
There's been no slipping.
For now, this is the first time we're hearing it's going to be more.
I don't want to sit in front of the council and answer, how did I let it slip? If anybody in this room believes that we've been letting it slip.
I'm not saying you let it slip.
You just said it publicly.
We have not let anything slip.
Okay,
then let me if it was, we found a nuclear reactor, that would be a completely different thing. But I think my intel tells me that we're arguing about technical details back and forth between the Park Service and DOEE. And I think that that's why it's slipping as much as anything. So I'll put that up too. So I think that, you know, that's an issue that probably should be considered for the council here to help resolve those. Because, you know, do we have enough...
If I'm a council member and someone gets up, an advocate like AWS, and says, it's been slipping, council, I wouldn't change the date.
I wouldn't either, but I would come and sit with you and say, I see why it happened, and I certainly support that. We helped set that date. And, you know, we reset the date with Pepco on there. Rod as well.
Okay.
You
know, they said I won't go into semantics any further. Saying that words matter.
What? Okay.
And whether we actually get a date.
Slipping is the wrong word. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you that way. So, but I do want to say that the reasons for that are more about technical issues that are not open to the others that are here. And when those technical issues come out, they're going to be relitigated. I mean, look at the lawyers in the room. They're already counseling their people that, hey, we haven't seen the technical stuff here. We don't know what's going on. This is a voluntary thing. I come back to that. We're all supposed to be volunteers here. We're trying to work together. And I think that there's a little bit of stuff going on here, and we'll just present it to the.
So it sounds like that somewhere between March 8th and February 8th, we get an RI. And the RI is going to set the parameters, some of the parameters that the FS will be based upon, correct? So you're going to want time to respond with community input to the RI. there's been discussion that that's a community process or a peer review process. Doesn't have to be anything, but we agreed that we're going to do that. So the latest date would be March 8th. Probably would take at least, you know, I'm making this up, 45 days to 60 days for you to respond to the RI. And then it'll take at least 30 days to 2 months for Tetra Tech National Park Service to incorporate the responses. So that puts us 4 months past March 8th, right? So that puts us into July. So July, you get the FS, right? And then this should be vetted in the community, because that's where you got anywhere from 2 to 8 options, correct? And so that, 60 days for the
summer.
So the 60 days, including, you know, August, of course, that gets you to comments period. And then you're going to need how much time to incorporate the comment period of the FS to get to the proposed plan. That may be another 4 months.
October.
So this is October. And then it takes, at a minimum, 8 months to go from a, if I'm doing this right, help me out, for a proposed plan to the ROD, right? So 8 months beyond October is when? June 9th, 2019. So I assume if you're quiet, you agree to this.
Yes. In the Superfund world, the RIFS, a lot of times there are separate documents, but in the process, it's RI/FS. It's almost a somewhat parallel process. So it doesn't have to be a linear process.
It is like parallel this. Process. But you're relitigating an issue that Fred and Jim Foster just said the RI will inform the FS, and they want to be able to debate
right, but
the
so
premises of what creates the FS.
And we've already done that to some extent with the phase one. The phase two has some more focus. So
I have a feeling if we voted, you'd lose this one, unless someone else will argue your point.
I mean, you can start putting conceptual... You know, in a feasibility study, you evaluate different types of technologies. So at a time, like how the PRG affects it is start looking at spatial areas and volumes, and they can always be adjusted. But the other things, and I don't think they're going to change all that much. And so one thing that could be said is this Anacostia RIFS started, but you know, a year or so ago, it's on a... This thing's been studied for 20-some years. And I would argue there was an RIFS done in 2000. That the Awada did in some respects. And this story's not that much different.
So propose a change to the timeline.
I would have the RI and the FS on a more parallel schedule. And I certainly would, I think if you do have that
FS and the RI should come out on whatever we negotiate with Tetra Tech, but they proposed March 8th. You believe that these could come out together March 8th?
Well, not, I mean, that's a final RI, I guess. Right?
Right.
And so we haven't even seen a draft FS, but I suspect there's a draft FS floating around.
He said
so
they're
I
not ready.
I believe the date that's being discussed is when the draft will be published for public comment.
I understand that for public comment, but, you know, in terms of a commission and technical peer review stuff, that's a little bit different. And that would speed your schedule up. You don't have to get a final polished draft between Park Service and DOEE before you release it to everybody else. That's my
Steve?
Point.
I hear a lot of talk that the people who are going to look at the new information that's coming out kind of final formally in the RI. And so I don't know that you can do the FS right at the same time, because there's going to be questions and there's going to be you know, I think you're going to need to reflect that response to those questions in the FS. And so I think is this time schedule is getting pushed out, which is, you know, difficult, but I think there'll be a lot less time at the end of the process if we put it in there to give some time for that review, get the FS, give some time for that review like you're sketching out here. Because I think if we have a little bit more of a process where we're looking at these pieces as they come out, kind of in sequential order, and have some time to look at it, we'll get to a much more broadly supported piece at the end. And there's, you know, there's still questions about that we heard today about inputs from outside the district and other things like that that are gonna, that could tend to, we'll need some time to wrestle with that also.
Now, I've kind of led this process, but I have a partner here. I want to see if there's any feedback from Tara or from our National Park Service with Tammy. I also want to acknowledge my co-chair here, Mayor Williams. Welcome, Tony.
It's a very interesting conversation and one that we've been having between DOE and MPS for a bit. So, you know, getting your feedback is essential and to figuring out what the extension needs to be in order to do this right. And that is it, do it right. That the process can't be run driven by schedule, but it needs to be done right. And that's kind of what we need your feedback in. We need the time to get it right. And what does that mean from all of you? Because all of you are behind the June 2018 deadline. So we really need that feedback in order to be defensible. And we are working hard. And just because we're proposing an extension does not mean that work has slacked. We are all working very hard, keeping in mind that June 2018 is the existing deadline, and we're trying to get there. But to do it right, we do need more time.
And I will add to that, I didn't want to go too far, so I agree with everything that Tammy said. And as we're, you know, listening to the discussion and looking at the timeline, I think from our perspective also the two critical pieces are making sure that there's that time. The council was put together and has technical expertise, so we want to make sure that we have that input, as well as allowing the appropriate time for the public at large when the time is right for that, so that they're engaged and informed through the process.
Let me take Walter.
I just want to say, as one of the folks who was involved in helping to set the original deadline, I think deadlines are good because they help to concentrate the mind, they help to prioritize for an agency that has a lot of other competing priorities, and part of what was good, I think, about having the deadline originally was it committed the district government to accomplishing certain very important things by certain dates, right? I now hear you saying that the June 18th date, while it was a wonderful aspiration to have had several years ago when we said it, is today not possible. And this conversation is about whether we ought to set a new date and get the council to agree to it. My answer is I think that ought to be done. What the date ought to be, I don't know. I think having December 2018 would be good for reasons you've already said. But I think when you set that day, you need to be able to know what is a realistic calendar by which you can accomplish all of those steps and meet December 2018. And I think you're more apt to be able to do that if you do what several people have already said. That is, maximize input from the people in this room as early in the process as possible. Because each of these steps is going to build on one another. So, as a gentleman said a minute ago, you don't want to come to the end of the process and find if you'd only had input earlier, you wouldn't have something that's now flawed. So, I think before you make the presentation to the council, and urge everyone here to support what you're asking the council to do, you need to be pretty clear about what's achievable that gets the community input, and as Jim said, it gets this right.
Well, I'm going to be clear. We can make that date. Under the law, we can make that date. But you don't get the community input that you expect. by providing all the legally, the law would require requires is 60 days. That's it. And this whole process from here to the rod, only one of them requires 60 days. So we can meet the date. But the question is, can we meet it in a way that's acceptable to the community and our stakeholders? So if you want those dates, if you want community input, if you want the time after the RI and the FS, then that's what you're asking your government for. We can meet the date, Walter. But you're asking
June 18th.
No, we can meet
in December.
December. Okay. We can meet that one, probably not June 18th, possibly. But you don't get what you're expecting. And so I just want to be clear that that it's from the community to say we want to own this process. So we want to respond to the remedial investigation. We want to then have the same kind of thing 2 months for the feasibility study, and then the times that are built in for the proposed plan. The only reason that that extends it that far is that we've already given an expectation, as was spoken to earlier, that there will be public input, and we're committed to that too. But legally, we can meet the we can keep it within 2018 and possibly even June, but I wouldn't be right for the community. Emily?
Do you feel like you need or want feedback and information from the RI in order to inform the FS? Do you feel like that's an important step, or does, at this point, does it not matter? And I'm just thinking about how much more time you feel like you need to prepare
I think FS. This is a little bit in, up in the air, a little bit of debate. Okay. We've got, I don't know what Simeon would say. You'd probably say we've already been influencing the RI mm-hmm. and already been responding to it, and that it ought to be done with the FS and not separate them, that they can come out together. And you're right, the work's being done parallel. But then what we heard from AWS is they want a public comment period between the RI and the FS. And then Fred said, maybe that should be a peer review period between the two. But it seems like there's a sentiment for having the ability to separate those. Michael.
Can you define community input? Is there a legal definition of what is required for community input, or is there our definition of what is our response or responsibility to the public at large? And does that mean we're meeting with neighborhoods? Because I have to tell you, trying to disseminate this level of technical information to the community at large is an impossible task in any sort of timeline. We've been working at this for, over 3 years now? And my brain's full.
On the part that's not legally required, you guys have to define what you expect from your government, from us, on what community input is. Meetings, outreach, however you want us to do it. Otherwise, it's defined in law. It's a notice and comment period from the moment of notice to comment. Then we have a period of time to incorporate those comments.
Because I think there are a number of stakeholders here who are well informed and have been a part of this process and represent aspects of the community and the public good. But if you're going to open it up, and this is the definition I'm looking for, is what, Jim, what do you consider community input? Are you going to go out to the neighborhoods and other stakeholders? Are we just kind of staying within our community here? That's a different timeline than going out to the public at large through a round of public meetings. And Walter, you may have a different definition of community input, and our attorneys may have a different definition. I'm just not that well versed in that world. So I'm curious what everybody thinks community input is.
Oh, or what is co-chair, EPA's definition?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
And first of all, I apologize for being late. I actually went over to our old meeting site. where there was a party. It's a nice party.
Maybe we should have met there.
I made my way over. It turns out I'm only 2 blocks from where I live, so I should have paid attention. But I support what I think you propose, which is, I think it's important. I mean, we see so many, we're seeing this now on the national level, we're trying to slap together a tax program without adequate time. I think we need, as Walter says, certain dates that compel action and provide a sense of urgency. But I also endorse what you're proposing here, which is to provide the consultation and collaboration. And I would say, to answer your question, Michael, I look at consultation and collaboration on two levels. One,
is providing adequate time for the partners, for example, the consulting consultative working group, the leadership council, you know, the different stakeholders to have an actual granular role in shaping how this process plays out to a certain outcome. But I think it also involves citizen input. And if someone who made a living, you know, with neighborhood meetings and citizen input, I think it's incumbent on leadership to figure out a way to take a complicated matter like this and put it in the language and the currency where citizens can engage and have adequate input. So I think it is, hard, Michael, but I think it is doable. But I commend you for the approach you're taking here.
Okay.
And I would go back to Emily's point of, I do think it would be beneficial to us as the council to start receiving briefings on what are possible remediation solutions that other comparable situations have done so that we are as up to speed as possible about that universe of solutions. And so we're not coming and looking at an RI or an FS that has solutions, and we're going, what does this mean?
So what we're going to do, Michael, is,
sorry to cut
you off, but you can bet that the PRPs have got great consultants and attorneys to talk to them about this is what this cost, this is what that cost, this is how this works. So for the community groups, we're going to put out an RFP. It may go out as early as today for hopefully groups to band together to bid for the grant. So hopefully you do it as a community, and it's at the request of Appleseed. It's a great idea to hire your own consultant so that that doesn't answer everything in terms of how you break down the options and such, but you'll have a consultant that you pay for from the grant that will be there with you to decipher this stuff so that you have everything else that you have about what the PRPs have. Okay?
Yeah, I would truly appreciate that.
This is Rhonda Chapman. I'm weighing in on behalf of Groundwork DC, and I really appreciated the notion that although the information is very difficult, condensing it into digestible language is still a responsibility of the group, albeit very difficult. And regarding that RFP that you were just referring to, Director, I'm wondering if there will be some criteria for the consultant to actually be within the region. And I don't know, sometimes we have consultants that already exist just by the knowledge of the community-based organizations that are already at the table. And so I would advocate that whatever the criteria are for this said consultant that's going to be advising on how to do the community strategy, or excuse me, the communication strategy, also be representative of the community itself. Because if we have a consultant coming in that doesn't have an understanding of the area, I think we might miss a lot of opportunities to make this be as robust as it can be.
So I appreciate that. One of the main requirements of the successful bidder, well, who put together the most inclusive group to receive the contract or the funds, so that group decides who the consultant is. So if there's, you know, if it's a very inclusive group collaboration, that's the main criteria. And then who the consultant is will be determined by the folks that get the grant. So hopefully Groundworks will be a part of that. Okay.
Okay.
Bill?
As somebody who worked in the Chesapeake Bay program for 10 years, I thought I'd be the last person in this room to suggest delaying a deadline. Because our whole program is based upon never letting slip a deadline. But it seems to me there are two things at work here. One, there's obviously a lot of concern about how and when to engage both the communities and the technical expertise in the FSRI process. And that, if it's going to work, it's going to require some stretching out of the schedule. And the other thing that's at work here is, let's face it, we're in Washington, D.C. Everybody in this town has an opinion about everything. And the whole process by which something like this is going to go through, this ain't Pittsburgh. This is going to involve a lot of community organizations who want to have their opinions heard. And I don't see any alternative to stretching it out for those two reasons.
Okay. Jim?
I do want to come back to the fact that as part of the leadership council, we wanted to help lead. We wanted to help. We wanted to provide technical stuff. If we're struggling with, you know, how many parts per billion of this or that, there's plenty of technical support in the room here. I think everybody in the room would show up at the drop of a hat. But I really feel that you haven't relied on us quite as much as you could have, you know, to help. I suggest that only is that if there's some technical issue today that we can help with, I'm sure that people are ready to go. I'm so glad that finally we have many of the consultative work group members in the room with us. I've been asking for that for, you know, 18 months. We've been waiting to see a 3D drawing of the river to see what needs to be done where, for instance, as far as we can leave it here or we have to dig it out there. We've been talking about this cross-sectional area of the river and what's going to happen there. We were promised that drawing 6 months ago. I don't even remember at this point. But, you know, nothing has really come our way. And we're here to say to you...
Were you at the meeting in Anacostia at the church that Doug Siglin and them organized? That looked 3D to me.
Okay, I get what you're saying, but we wanted to see the channel and the cross-sectional area of the river together. We saw the samples where they're located. That's great. I'm just pointing out that this is a voluntary thing. So you when you start to say that you have to have a legal requirement to do this or do that, that starts to turn it on its head a little bit. And I think that we are trying to do this as a team together. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, where we're coming off the tracks a little bit. Okay?
I don't think we're off the tracks. I really don't.
It's good. I'm glad you don't feel
it's
way.
Just,
I think that
where do you want to stop along the way is the only question.
I think there's some in the room who feel just a little bit differently. Okay. So
I hear it from you. I don't hear it from others in the room.
Okay.
Jim, do you want to hold to this date, to the June rod?
I want it done right. I understand, like I said, if there was something big that came along, a nuclear reactor that we found or something like that, explosives, that would be something totally different. But we're arguing over, parts per billion here, and I think that that's what's holding up and some other technical issues, and that's what's holding up the schedule. I want to help resolve that if we can.
I want to know more about the human health impact assessment, and then I want to know, when we're going to see the FS. I mean, I think that's really, too many alternatives on the table gets too messy, and I think we can narrow that down even more probably if, as you suggested, we get more information and we can work together in this room.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There are certainly alternative approaches to getting the work done. Looking at, I'm glad to see you mention, some adaptive management. I think that that's great. That's one of the things we wanted to hear. But, the opportunity to say, that we can do things in parallels as opposed to in series is very critical to the people in the room here. So we could start on this spot over here while we still determine what's happening over there.
Jim, that's what happened in the FS.
I understand.
We're going to delay the FS. You won't get to that for a while because I hear that the leadership council is asking us to spend more time on an input, whether it be peer review or otherwise, on the RI before we get to the FS. So what you're looking for will probably happen more in the FS than an RI. This defines the problem. This is the range of solutions.
Right, we just want to make sure that we have the correct criteria going into the design. That's all about.
That's what we're proposing. That's the RI.
Thank you.
Simeon?
I just want to agree with Jim a little bit here. I don't want to make any statement like off the tracks or anything like that, but I do feel like waiting for information, and I know the information's out there, and I'm like chomping at the bit for the opportunity to talk about it. And that opportunity, not really happening.
Well, actually, we're following the process, and we've created more community input than what's required. So already, when you say that it's not happening, I don't want to argue that too much, but I also want to say that for those that are involved in this, and maybe you've been involved in this too, we're also putting together what we believe has to be on behalf of the city, and you is a bulletproof case.
So the degree to which
we get things wrong coming out of the box doesn't help make a great case in the event we end up in court. As much as we can get right before we get in front of you, and that's in the public realm, is going to help. We don't want to do what, I can't remember your name in the back there.
Ridge Hoff.
We don't want to do what he said can happen, which you end up at square one.
And I agree with that 100%, but things could be talked about right now to avoid that. You don't have to wait till the reports are going out. And you know, someone like Noah, following the legal process, we could get our comments in during the public comment.
I don't want to go too far into this.
What Jim said, though, is we're ready to give input.
I don't want to go too far into this, but when we went into the possible remedies, I mean, that triggered Pepco to go, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of Pepco, but we put everything up there. We had not refined it yet. And they were worried that we'd pick one of those. And they reached out to Jim, to Bill, and other folks saying, oh no, they're so far down the FS, because we just saw what a possible remedy was, which is going to cost us a lot of money. And it looks unnecessary. And it was dredging wall to wall. Well, we're trying to put everything out there as what's possible to have that discussion. There's ramifications quickly. And it's already had ramifications in this room by doing that. So we're going to try to pick this right, but putting everything on the table has already had a backlash. So we will do our best to do this responsibly. So not everything is always going to be on the table until we tell you why it's on the table. That is, there's science behind it.
I think there's one thing to have a delay that's, you know, caused by negligence, indifference, bureaucracy. It's another one where it's a calculated attempt to make this focused and deliberative as possible in a positive way. To say, look, we're going to take every opportunity to make sure we get everybody on the table as possible. We may have to proceed without unanimity or consensus, but try to get everybody on the table, the stakeholders all on the table at each step, right, to ensure that we're successful in this, because this is the way I look at it, this is the third wave of the cleanup of the Anacostia. The first was the old legacy, which now seems old legacy, the map, which we take for granted now, the massive tunnels, right? And then permeable surfaces, you know, 21st century approach. And this is the last and final stage of really attacking the river. And we ought to learn lessons from the past. And I think one of the lessons we ought to learn from the past is that each step of the way, we try to achieve as much stakeholder buy-in as possible. And if that takes a couple months longer, whatever it is, I think it's worth it.
So I think you're exactly right, and Annette and I agree. And I think we're getting to that place in the room. And I suggest that Walter's probably going to want another date on the end, because you're right, it focuses the mind. It's been a very good, helpful thing for budgeting as well. So what we can do, and we have to work with our partners, I can't speak on behalf of the Park Service, is take this conversation as a conversation of input and come up with a new timeline that we put back out to you. And then we pull not a regularly scheduled meeting, because there is big times in between, and we'll come back in a short period of time that defends a new timeline. And in the timeline, I believe that there's a consensus in the room that there's a period in between the RI and the FS. Right? I believe there's a consensus, not unanimous, but a consensus. So we're going to build in that period there. And with the Park Service, we will get Tetra Tech and their consultant to find out, to defend why this is March 8th. I'm not accepting this March 8th yet, but we're going to hear why it's March 8th. Yes, Michelle?
You may want to consider building in a series of technical workshops for the review agencies, so that you're hearing more about what they want to see. Because we don't want perfect to be the enemy of a good, and sometimes when we're in document review and back and forth, that can happen. So just to think about having those stakeholders in the room to see how they would like things expressed or addressed to streamline.
Back here. I think your deadline would be very much driven by the process. And so I've heard a lot of talk about deadlines, but I think what Michelle's bringing up is very important here. So what is your vision for how are you going to engage the technical expertise, which is obviously, you know, very available to you in your room? Is it just, you're going to wait till March 8th?
the RI is going to come out, you're going to send a copy to everybody, or are you going to try to have a discussion, you know, monthly meetings with a smaller core technical group that can help guide revisions to the RI before it's released, et cetera? I think that's, you need to give that some thought before you...
I'm not excited about putting other people around Tetra Tech while they do their work. We've already, and I won't go too much into my pain of the world of finding out why we're having any dates that are not what I would like them to be. And one of them is Tetra Tech's needed to present to the consulting working group. So that takes a lot of their time and money. And so if it's like reporting to another consulting working group, like the one with the PR, the potential responsible parties, it's going to push it further before you get to the RI. Now maybe you get a better RI, but there's still an expectation of some period of 30 days to 60 days. Now by purchasing a consultant for the outside stakeholders, we're hoping it'll help that period. But I don't know if what you're saying is that if you get a better RI, you can have a shorter public input period. We need to get consensus on that, but or even get to where Simeon is saying is have no period if we get a better RI.
So the vision right now is the RI will be released with no solicitation of technical input from
okay, the first RI has already gone out and there's technical input. They're incorporating that. Then the next one goes out, and then we'll incorporate, then this period right here will inform it. And then we get to the FS.
So the RI will be released then in March and distributed to the community at large, to this technical
community at large and this group.
At the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Doctor?
Yes. Well, the Cosby government is a very dynamic system. The worst that they might have tomorrow. We plug when the hospital's got downstream. It's end user now has to take it into consideration. And also, it's a two-state effect. We have the legal right to sue Maryland to solve this problem.
I think Adam Ortiz would be the named defendant.
And I think that's what we want to try and avoid.
So,
absolutely. And I tell you know, the Park Service and myself, we've tried to stay out of litigation. We've tried to stay out of any satellite litigation, and so far we have successfully. And the Park Service has been really the ones pushing the hardest on keeping the potential responsible parties at the table to keep them engaged. When Tetra Tech said that you're slowing us down, I made a unilateral decision as they're our contractor, said quit going to the consultant working group, get us a product. So as we go back and forth in this, I know there's a tension. So this may change to an earlier date, but we're looking at March 8th. We're looking at a comment period in between. That's likely to be 2 months, and then we'll get you, starting to get confusing in my head, so we'll get you a new timeline with the rationale, and you'll have a, when's the hearing in front of the council on the cleanup? When?
January 11th.
We'll turn it around fairly quickly, because you'll need this before the hearing on January 11th.
Can you remind what the specific objectives of that phase two RI were? Because it's not like it's a whole new RI. I mean, 95%, so it's addressing some of the data gaps. So it's, I don't think you need the same amount of review time for that phase one RI as you would for this, because you're only looking at an updated part of the RI.
Right.
Mark, you want to say anything about the difference between a phase one and phase two?
And comparable to that, you could phase the FS2 and start putting...
I know you've been arguing that all day, but I don't think you have a consensus. Mark?
We were biased away from the PRP sites in phase one. So phase two, we really focused the boring and the sampling around the 14, what we call PECS sites. And we also, as Simeon intimated, there were data gaps on the biota that we address. So there were, and also to the doctor's point, we were looking at characterizing sources as well. So we began that effort too. So there were, the data gaps are outlined in, I believe, section 12 of the phase one report. We wrote an addendum to the work plan, so all that we kind of followed that pretty closely. So it's all kind of laid out in the public record there.
Were you doing a new hydrologic process too?
We began the hydro. If you're talking about the hydrodynamic model, mm-hmm.
Were you setting a new one or restudying it?
That's part of what we're doing is doing a new surface water model. There was a surface water model that had been prepared, and we've created a whole new, not just the water model, but also for the whole watershed. So, yeah, that's part of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that will be part of the phase two of the next RI.
So we'll get you a new timeline, and we'll get it out before the end of the year so that you have that. And we're going to need your input, and we'll coordinate that through Mark Nielsen and my team on testifying to say the council's going to want to know where you stand on this and why. And how it's characterized, I think, is important because you don't want to call into question whether the funds are needed or not, you know, in terms of what Emily's point is very important. So to say that this is what we need in order to have the full community input on board to feel good, to get to the best product, we want the council to robustly support that, not grudgingly, because it reflects in their budgets too. All right, so we had a full of agenda. We're going to only grab one thing off the agenda, and this is your treat for all the work that you've been doing, is that we are going to get an update from the Washington Navy Yard. As you know, when we went over these four major areas, this is our Superfund site at the Navy Yard, and what we do and what they do will impact each other. So I don't know who's going to present, but we've got representatives here from them. So welcome.
All right, so.
Can I get the lights?
We have Mr. Robert Trav from US EPA. And if you remember, because it's so important, this piece down here, we started in the last meeting, which was in September. We looked at Pepco and Washington Gas. And what we also decided with the lead agency would be the presenters of each of these potentially environmental contaminant sites, which Mark was just referring to. So we had asked Navy Yard to produce a small presentation of their update. Navy Yard has been working on this for a very long time. They're looking, Bob will tell us more about not everything that's going on Navy Yard, but basically about what's close to the river on the Navy Yard. And yeah, take it away. And sorry for the delay,
Thank you, Gretchen. Yeah. As Gretchen said, my name's Bob Straub. I'm the EPA project manager for the Washington Navy Yard. I just want to give you a brief overview of the environmental restoration update at the Washington Navy Yard, but the emphasis is going to be on the sediments in the Anacostia River. It's just an aerial view of a map aerial view of the Washington Navy Yard, as it sits in the river. Another aerial view, these are the different land sites, but this is an aerial view of the site itself. Bit of history, part of the overview. The Navy Yard has been active since 1799. I think one of the oldest Navy Yards in the world, if not the oldest. The most industrial activity stopped at the yard in the 60s, 1960. The environmental restoration program has been active since the early 1990s. We operate under the Superfund CERCLA program. The Washington Navy Yard works along with EPA Region 3 and the DOEE. Navy Yard is also the only NPL listed site in Washington, D.C. So they always get special treatment. Chemicals of concern at the site. In soil, we have chlorinated solvents, PAHs, PCBs, lead, petroleum chlorinated solvents in groundwater, PAHs, metals, and PCBs in sediment. Another aerial view of the site. These are the environmental restoration sites, the land sites, broken out by the red around the different sites. And they're all numbered with the different site numbers. They all have different histories. But like I said, this is going to be on the river. Pie chart represents our progress. Like Gretchen said, we've been working at this for a while. So we've completed 27 sites that we have cleanup complete. We have one that's still undergoing screening, and four that are still undergoing the RIFS. The ones that are undergoing the RIFS, the Washington Navy Yard has been broken up into what we call Operable Unit 1, which is the site-wide groundwater. But now that's been further broken down into two sites. We still have the site-wide groundwater, but we have two sites that have been broken out from that. We're going to continue the investigation. The site-wide groundwater, we're kind of winding down on that. It's an important slide here. Don't know if you can see many of the dots there, but what these dots represent, years of sampling that the Washington Navy Yard's done. See the green a little bit, but there's a bunch of different samples there. A little bit of a more of a definition of what we sampled on the next slide. History of the investigation activities. In 1999, the Navy, they investigated and replaced all the former sewers that are leading to the Anacostia River. So they cut down the contamination going into the river by doing that. Took 30 surface sediment samples in 1999, 120 samples in 2006, where they sampled the surface and subsurface sediment. This is really starting to get it going here. They took 40 surface sediment samples in 2009. And fish tissue. The fish tissue was important to do the uptake for our human consumption of fish. And in 2014, we finalized our RI report. Now, we kind of did some additional RI type work in the pre-FS investigation that started in 2017 that we've still been kind of working on this year. They collected 46 surface sediment samples in the top 6 inches of the sediment to define a lateral outline of the Navy impacts. That went out further into the river. That was part of the additional post-RI work where they went out further into the river. Also took additional samples to determine if conditions are improving by taking on top 1 inch of samples. And I think they were improving. Where
this guy? We're still trying to determine that. That's not obvious. Yeah. Yeah.
But there were 10 shallow surface soil samples collected there in the top 1 inch. Additional pre-FS investigation included 250 samples taken within 12 sediment core depths. They were up to 18 feet. So they took the cores, took 12 cores, but the different samples were broken down in each core. So that's where they did the analysis. This is important here, too, where they conducted the PCB and PAH forensics. Forensics is more like a fingerprinting, where you can take like a molecule of a contaminant that's somewhere down river and trying to compare that to see what's coming from the Navy Yard and see if the Navy had anything to do with the contamination that's down river. We're still kind of working that out, but, I mean, these are the type of things that they've been doing. What we're currently doing, we're going to incorporate the sediment collected by DOE. That's still ongoing. We want to complete the forensic evaluation and develop a pre-FS data report That should be done in early 2018. We're also going to do a Washington Navy Yard specific feasibility study. That should be done maybe late summer in the fall.
So questions for Mr. Shrev?
So your feasibility study will be related to the sediment in front of the Navy Yard?
Yes.
And your feasibility proposal will show distance of how far out you're going to go into the main stem of the river?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anything you want to share? I think you did a test cap. What did you... Do you believe they learned from the test?
Well, you know, I think they did. Where they took a piece of the the sediment, and I guess put it in laboratory type conditions where you had like hurricane forces and different things like that.
You're trying to be asking about the test cap that's down by the ball field.
Yep.
Yeah, that wasn't the Navy did not do that. That was done more by the Simeon fighters more about that.
It was coordinated through the Watershed Toxics Alliance back in like 2000.
Okay.
That was up to about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, quite you asked about like. I think it's important, like one of the things for me from the RI mentioned about cleaning out the drains and such is that it's not necessarily looking at the FS right off the Navy Yard property and out, looking at how the contaminants were released, at least that some people are thinking about, so being discussed is through the sewers and the outfalls. So that contamination, there isn't necessarily a high to low concentration gradient as you closer to further. You have to consider where the sewers discharge the PCBs.
So you said, and again, very good presentation, but you said that you're fingerprinting the PCBs, the contaminants, to look to see how far they went downriver, right? Is that something you get at your question?
That's related to that. Yeah.
Okay. Jim?
So would your work be in parallel or completely separate from the work that the MPS and DOEE are doing and designing? Theoretically, you would go off and come up with your own feasibility of, hey, it's we don't need to do anything or something. Are you working in conjunction with them?
Our FS is Navy Yard specific. Like I said, we're incorporating some of the DOE study, but the FS that we're going to produce is specific to the Navy Yard because our study was basically in front of the Navy Yard.
How will it fit together with the bigger work of the entire?
Well, the feasibility study, I guess, as I said, it'll be specific to the. From a larger standpoint, when all that other work is done, I'm guessing the Navy would.
Let me add a James question potentially. How do you determine PRGs and say what PRGs are? For everybody's, I forget at times, but at PRGs and how do you determine depth?
We definitely want to integrate it with what the district is doing, and determining, getting information on what the district comes up with as PRGs is going to have a huge impact on what the Navy decides.
PRGs. Remind everybody what PRGs mean.
Preliminary remediation goals, so okay. The concentration that you want to in your, area that you're going to evaluate alternatives for.
Now, is that in the FS or the proposed plan or what?
It's typically be developed in the beginning of the FS, the first steps of the FS.
You don't have your FS out until October of 18?
Maybe. Probably.
And our FS is...
Yeah, but it's the PRGs that they're waiting for, which comes out with RRI. Yeah. So the timing actually works quite nicely.
And there's other things to factor in.
But you're not bound, are you? Well, I don't want to have to open up a whole can of worms, but I'm not necessarily bound by the PRGs.
The Navy's also concerned with, what's coming down the river?
Because
your PRG is going to be based a little bit on upstream of the Navy Yard, not necessarily upstream of.
And then how do you determine the depth? Are you going 26 feet?
Well, we've done cores down to what we think is the former dredge depth of the river. Because, there's a good 16, 18 feet of deposited sediments in that lower part of the river. and the contamination at the surface is really not so bad. You know, it's top 6 inches. We don't even have a spot that's above a part per million.
But how do you,
but you get down 6 feet, 7 feet, that's where the, it gets a lot more concentrated.
Do you guys, are you working with, I guess what I'm saying is, how do you know what the depth of the channel is going to be? And does that matter to your FS?
Yeah, well, like I said, we did these cores down to the dredge depth and beyond, and did continuous concentrations until we found, okay, what's, you know, what's it, probably presumed clean for PCBs, which is the primary contaminant. Then in the feasibility study, you'll look at alternatives such as, do you dredge it all out? Do you dredge hot spots? Do you, you know, dredge some, cap some? Do you cap? So a lot of different things you got to look at. And that's what you got to, you know, the Navy wants to be, follow the same logic that they do with the rest of the river. You know, you're not going to dig up everything in the center of the channel or the other side. Does the Navy want to, you know, do that or vice versa? You know? So.
Also, I just wanted to, you know, answer Jim's question.
No, it's got to be. You know,
just to answer Jim's question a little bit more in detail. I think it's kind of way to talk to the EPA, but a lot of DOD is to make sure that there's consistent actions, kind of like the sediment site, the sediment project, that we here in Washington has been kept going. Just kind of the idea of the sediment project is to speak across all the sites and look at the river in a holistic manner. So, you know, that your question is very, is something that's very much on.
On this presentation, Adam?
Thanks for your presentation. And I'm sorry if I missed this, but does the fingerprinting also include tracing, ongoing leaching, or new inputs as well, in addition to the legacy that's beneath the sediment?
You know what? Does it, Scott? I don't think it's covering new inputs.
Our investigation into the land side sites and the sort of groundwater is looked into, you know, is there anything still coming into the river from the Navy Yard?
That's okay.
I mean, it will look at, and I think the answer there is that we don't see continuing, you know, at least through the groundwater, we don't see it. And I think the NPDES sampling for the sewers doesn't see a lot of input continuing. But it will look at what's coming down the river, you know, sort of what are the fingerprint of what's north or upstream of the Navy Yard compared to what's in front of it, compared to what's downstream. They'll look at that now.
Same in?
That's what I was going to say. A lot of the PCB fingerprinting looks at weathering and things like that, so you can start differentiating different sources or how long PCBs have been in a certain area or whatever. And then, you know, that PRG thing is an important thing because there's preliminary remediation goals often based on the risk assessments, either human health or eco, so they're risk-based PRGs. Then you have like technology or implementability type PR, like remediation considerations where you're evaluating it, which ultimately gets to a cleanup number or an action limit number. So there's a difference between the PRG and the action limit number. And I don't know if people understood that or not, because you can't necessarily, like I said, sometimes you can't clean up to the risk-based numbers if it's below background. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the forensics concept? I mean,
it's been used a lot of places. Okay. It was used in a lot of work, just looking at the weathering. You know, basically you look at the high molecular weight, the low molecular weight ratios, but I know there's something more intricate, perhaps, being done at the Navy Yard, but... with Richard Grandchamp,
yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, as far as accuracy, it's
pretty
it's good.
I mean, it gives you information, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Park Service would like to go through their
okay,
update.
Okay, so no more questions. Well, will you have a regular person that will be coming to our, would you like to be on our mailing list to be invited to these meetings?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's a great
one. Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.
Okay, we've got 15. We've got 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
We can do it.
Okay. If you give me 5 minutes for the Riverview survey, or two. I need 2 minutes for the Riverview survey. Okay. I'm
all right.
Trying to.
Let me give you a 20-minute presentation and 5 minutes.
Okay. So, first.
Okay, my name is John Wardway. I work with the Johnson Company, and we're contractors for the National Park Service. I'm helping out on Poplar Point site, and today we're just going to give you an update on where the RIFS is at this point. Move to the next slide. The RIFS is just kicking off. The planning piece of it isn't even complete yet. It's almost done. So investigation hasn't started. So really, our understanding of the site is somewhat limited to historic explorations that have been done in certain areas, but nothing site-wide. So right now, it's really background and what the objectives of the study are and where we're going and what we'll be doing, or what will be done in the investigation. So it's 110 acres. It's legislated to be transferred from NPS to the district based on the DC Lands Act. It's intended to be redeveloped for mixed use. In the transfer, about 70 acres will still have to remain as public parkland. The district is actually leading the RIFS process with oversight from NPS. Phase one of the RI, so the RI will be probably done in phases. The first part will be kicked off probably in first quarter of 2018. So here's what's the site. Just keep flipping through. Keep going through. So there's three major areas for historically is the DC Lanham area, the Architect of the Capitol area, and the Naval Receiving Station. The DC Lanham and the AOC areas were run by the district. The historical use was nurseries and greenhouses. The Naval Receiving Station had a whole myriad of different facilities and activities. Most of the site was formerly mudflats. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, dredge material was brought up and makes the solid ground that you see now. You can just keep going through this whole slide.
Oops. Don't know where.
Yeah, I spoiled my. So the nursery and the greenhouses were a period from 1927 to 1993. And Naval Receiving Station was in the 1940s to 1960s. There wasn't a lot of information on what happened at the NRS side of it before the 40s, except for the bonus Army encampment, which was in 1932, which was, you can move to the next, was World War I veterans were protesting in DC, and there was a very large encampment where the site was occupied for several months. They were cleared off, and the site was burned by the Army. So probably when we dig down, we'll find some ash residue. Key features of the site, you can just click through all of these. I'm sorry, that's just slow down. We have large wetland areas that are jurisdictional wetland areas, the green hatched area. We have Stickfoot Creek, which is basically a creek that's inside of a pipe running out to the Anacostia. The Park Service, the Park Police headquarters are here, the NACE headquarters are here. If you click to the next, the existing Park Police heliport facility is here. These are the old greenhouse buildings from the Architect of the Capitol, and these yellow buildings are all part of the Naval Receiving Station. And then you've got the Metro Green Line here and the Anacostia Station and the flood control wall that comes around the active part of the site. The rest of the site is inactive and not in use at this point. It's pretty much grown over. Keep going. So investigation so far, like I said, have been focused on sort of specific areas and not for site-wide. So now the RI, the first phase, was the first chance to sort of take a look at the geology and the hydrogeology and the potential contaminant sources on a more of a site-wide basis. We do have a sense for potential source areas based on historical use and those prior investigations. So we've got some yellow areas are petroleum related, volatile organic compound type contamination. We have, in the next slide, have areas that are pesticides and herbicides. You've got metals contamination potential. You've got chlorinated solvents. There's a former dry cleaning facility was here in the same location as the Park Police Heliport. There are areas of potential munitions contaminants and or unexploded ordnances. And then you have some PCBs and dioxin areas of concern. None of these are areas that are necessarily documented that there are contaminants there, but those these are the targets for the investigation. It'll be a multi-media investigation, so it'll be looking at subsurface soil, sediment, groundwater, surface water, determine whether the sediment, the soil, is a source of groundwater contamination, determine if contaminants are migrating toward the Anacostia River, and determine if contaminants pose an unacceptable risk to human and ecological receptors. Pretty standard CERCLA RI. You can just go through this whole thing. This is the scope of the investigation. And in order, munitions and testing will be conducted. Then demolition of the greenhouses, removal from soil piles, sampling, you know, cores, borings, monitoring wells, groundwater testing, hydraulic testing of groundwater, assessment of tidal influences, and collecting soil samples for incremental sampling, basically to look at potential exposure risk to future occupants and sort of near surface ecological receptors. Field work, as I mentioned, is expected to kick off first quarter of 2018. Right now, NPS has been through the planning documents. They're being updated. There's not really major issues. I think it'll be pretty much as it's laid out right now. There's a special use authorization that's required to get the district access to the property, and that's being negotiated right now. It's almost done. And then there will be a community involvement plan that the district is preparing that will be made available to the public at the same time as the administrative record, and that all has to be made available to the public before the actual investigation starts. So that's all coming shortly. So sorry, this is very quick. Early stages of our understanding right now. I think after phase one of this investigation is done, we'll have a very good picture of what's going on, but right now it's pretty limited.
Great job, Jonathan.
Is there currently public access to the site?
No, there's no public access to the site. It's fenced off. Well, the public does get into the site, but not by methods that are...
The site is administratively closed by the park, but there is a fence that's dilapidated that people could get into.
And people do get into.
A little bit of history to this, for what it's worth. Back in the early 2000s, there was an appropriation given to DOE at the time to investigate Poplar Point. We know it worked with DOE, did a site-wide assessment of contamination. So we did what we called an RI, an FS, even came up with a proposed plan. So there is a data set. And there is an RIFP. You can use it for what it's worth. I'd stand behind it. I think it's a pretty good thing. But this is kind of the frustration, like with process. Like, why are we doing this all over again? Like, and you know, it ultimately came to an issue where the access agreement between DOE and the Park Service couldn't get worked out. So we ended up giving the money back. And it sounds like the access agreement still isn't worked out. Is that correct?
There's just minor things that are being completed. There's nothing major.
It's like 10 years ago.
Let me say that on the sediment project, National Park Service has been terrific. We've got a very good partner there. We have other sites that we're working on together, and we're trying to use that as a model for the same success that we're having together on the sediment project.
That's good.
Yes?
Can you just speak a little bit to the schedule and how it lines up with what was presented earlier?
Yeah, so we're probably about 2 years away from a rot. It's not set. That's not been set yet. But by the time the first phase of investigation starts in January, there'll probably be a follow-up phase of investigation, and you'll be into the FS. So it's a ways. I don't think there hasn't been a strict, you know, formal schedule, but that's the time frame you're talking about.
You know, down the road is kind of related to permeable services, but also, you know, sustainable development is you ought to, you know, talk about down the road daylighting all these streams that are all buried in pipes, because they're beautiful streams.
That was in the proposed plan that we had out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also daylighting Stick Foot Creek is part of the legislative requirements of the transfer also. So as we move from this back into the EIS associated with the planning, that is something that would be looked at.
Awesome. Fred?
When you said sediment samples, are those the wetland sediments on site? So anything in the river was done as part of the DOEE study?
That's correct.
Okay.
Sorry for not being clear.
Emily? Is anyone, you may not know the answer, is anyone looking at impacts of overlap from the Frederick Douglass Bridge reconstruction? Is there going to be any egress or like use of the land space to redo any of that?
I don't know the answer.
In terms of,
well,
in
either
terms of
either
the investigation.
You wonder if there's going to be staging there.
If you're asking
yeah,
about
like during the construction process.
Our new access ramp's going to cut through the site. I don't think ramps are coming through the site. And I don't think they've approached you guys for
I just haven't
construction
good
phase.
Yes. Yes.
No, there's there are no impacts on this site from South
Cal.
Okay. A realignment. There is some requested staging. But
those were my questions.
Outside
yeah.
of the area investigation so as not to delay any parts of the field work that we need to do. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of working through those pieces.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Okay, it is 12 noon. That's the commitment that you've made to be here. Tony, any final?
Great job. Great job covering a lot of territory.
All right, thank you, everybody. Our deliverable to you is a new timeline, and then you'll have time to respond to it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I want to
I know.
So if anyone has time, I don't know, I'm going to take it right now. Yeah. This is our river. We have to be here. Okay. And I know Trey and I are
So this is what Fred was going to present. We did some of the analysis, and this is what I was going to present.
So that's me. Yeah, this is because I think the risk assessments and the human health impacts, we really want to see. Anyway, I would love to talk to you guys
about it. Some of that in here, but we're really trying to figure out what are the inputs and what's that in context of what's coming from the Senate.
Can you guys hang out for just a minute? No. Okay. I would like you to say hello to Rich Hall. So he got up and spoke. He's worked with us a lot on the
I guess so.
And so he's going to be working with us very closely, and I'm glad to meet you because you're No, because he was going to wait for a few minutes anyway. Can you give me?
Yeah, I can give you one.
Yeah, give me 1 second. And I would love to get your phone. Let me just connect them to this person. All right, you'll have to come back next time.
Well, that was
happy to do that.
That was a fine presentation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you thought about it?
That's right. So I'm struggling.
Yeah.
I went through your presentation. I'm struggling with matching all of these guys with the x-axis a little bit.
They didn't print out right? So I marked up
somewhere. What did I do? Yeah.
So
this is the swamp.
So the reason is not all of these locations had, you know, so these balloons are where you have water samples. This is where we have air samples. So some of the air samples are not on the water, but around DC.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get a picture of the airshed concentrations of PCBs.
Yeah, well,
that's one of the issues. Really.
I saw the key finding there. That's sort of like bottle-wise, that's going to attract some attention.
It's bottle-wise. It's not coming in from the air. Well, at least for that.
But also relative to all of these other sites, too. It's remarkable.
And there are some local areas with pretty high levels.
Yeah.
This is lower B with that.
And then I was trying to figure out, yeah, exactly. So I was also really interested in the flocks, right? So these guys, I was having.
So this is the bed sediment to water flux.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically.
These are local measurements that we have done at each of these.
So these are passive samplers.
With passive samplers. So we put passive samplers in the sediment and the water. And then we use whatever information we have on the flow to calculate the mass transfer rate coefficient, and then you can figure out the flux. So this is a dissolved flux. We're not looking at particle flux.
Sure, sure. We're
just looking at the dissolved. And again, based on the dissolved concentrations and gas phase PCBs and air velocity, we can figure out the flux.
And it looks like...
Most importantly is the direction, and secondly is the magnitude of the flux.
And it looks like in terms of magnitude, 99% of it is associated with three or four areas, huh? If you were to do like a mass balance,
not quite. The reason is, so if you take a look at that, you have here. We have the two east
branches. The two branches.
Two branches, right? They have the biggest flows. So the concentrations are much lower in the northeast and northwest branches, right?
But the mass still may be
pretty high. So the flow here is much lower.
Yeah.
This is not helping. It's contributing. So I would say when we did the flux, but
want to convert it to a mass balance.
We did. We have that.
Okay.
So we have I have some numbers for each of these now.
Okay, what's cool. Really?
From upstream versus what's volatilizing up. What are the tributary inputs are the tributaries that we have measured. There's a lot of overflows that we have not measured.
And then it didn't look like you had stations like Pepco, for instance, who I'm working with. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any sampling stations next to them, but it's really hard to tell.
We may have something that is close. You know, we have the Kingman Island, which is maybe the closest.
Yeah, and it's looking like there's a little bit of a pulse. Although, again, you're right.
I can't remember if we have. Do we have a? You wouldn't know for the Anacostia River near Pepco. If we have a site.
So this is probably the closest.
Kingman Island
right
is
there.
Probably the closest.
Yeah.
I think the Kingman Island is the closest we have.
And you had mussels there as well.
No, all our mussels are in the tidal river. Non-tidal strip. And the only two we have in D.C. are Hickey and Watt.
Gotcha, yeah.
We didn't go down.
So this again... need to be careful seeing, it's a low bar. We got to look at the flow, normalized flux as well.
Yeah, so when we do that, there is a big input coming in from, like you saw in the previous slide I had. There's a big input coming from northeast and northwest in terms of mass loading, grams per year.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a big going out into the air,
which is startling.
Exactly. And then the tributary inputs are small compared to those two in terms of mass loading, but they are adding to the concentration.
Sure, sure. And then the sites.
And
as
then
well.
You have the sites that are releasing, from the. And we want to be able to come up with some numbers here as well for the sites because the RI has done a really nice mapping of, contours of different concentrations.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to take that.
And then on
we
some of the sites, there's
site-specific KD
more
values.
Data.
So we have taken 10 sediment samples from all over Anacostia, and we have site-specific KDs, PCBs, PAHs, and the pesticides. So you can use that to back out the pore water concentration map for that portion of the river, and use that to calculate the flux, because it's going to be different based on where...
One of the things when Wes said he wanted consistent PRGs across the river, I was scratching my head saying, it doesn't make a lot of sense ecologically.
But the one thing we are finding is the water column concentrations. If you look at the concentration of the water column in the tidal portion of the river for PCBs, we have two locations. We have four locations now. Data for two. Kingman Island and near the National Stadium.
Yeah.
About the same. So that
area
portion is somewhat overlying water is seems to be reasonably mixed up. About 1.2 to 1.5 nanograms per liter, which is much higher compared to where you want to be for fish consumption and all that.
Sure.
So we're going to take that water concentration and estimated pore water concentration sediment, come up with a flux. So then I can fill in this conceptual model with real numbers. That's what I want to be able to say. And put in some of the numbers here. What are the upstream inputs?
It's similar to what Kishwin's doing on the Duwamish right now. Right?
Because it becomes important. You know? We don't want to end up in a situation spending a ton of effort and money
embedded sediment when it's not the
this
issue.
Or something else. And then realize, 90% was something else. Right?
He's finding seeps, right, in the Duwamish right now. As he's saying seeps, and you know, bedded sediment is the issue, but it's very specific to certain seeps.
Oh, yeah. I saw the presentation by Phil Kishwin.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
Yeah, trying to locate those seeps, yeah. To the extent we can figure out, you know, what the anticipated concentration would be after the time.
Let me do the PowerPoint. Small room, I know, right? It's right there on the thing. Well, you know, I mean, this is like there was two questions that were coming up before this meeting today. One was scheduled, two was unknown studies. And, you know, the thing is, we set the agendas, you know, like 2 months in advance.
Right.
But the thing is, we sort of hit it like, okay, ongoing studies, so that's why I had you guys. And then, of course, the ongoing contaminant sites, because that, this whole thing of how those feed into the FS is really actually kind of fun. And it's really, and it's one of the things that we're, I can't say struggling with, but, you know, this isn't a conventional FS where you're just saying a site because you have to.
We need the WebEx.
Okay. I can, I guess
thanks,
I can
get
it. Oh, welcome. Nice seeing you.
Happy holidays.
Yeah,
I'll
be happy to talk to you more.
Okay. Yeah, we may follow up, and I'm sure there are channels we have to go through. We may well be there. Nice to finally meet
you. Take
care. Bye. Hi. I'm John Blyler.
Emily Frank.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So I'm gonna take this back and read it.
Okay.
And this is so what? So we're kind of thinking not this year back, next year, or maybe when this is done. What is you're sharing the screen, stop sharing.
You're the tech person too.
Right? So I
think
you're concerned.
Let me see what my calendar is.
I have to look at my cheat sheet.
Are you going to run somewhere?
I don't have to.
Let me just see what I have.